بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this great blessing of being able to get together in the Hawza Ilmiya of England and start our course on aqa'id or theology. Studying for the sake of learning and then inshallah acting upon what we learn is something that is really impossible to describe its value. We have a very well-known famous hadith which says that whoever learns for the sake of God and teaches for the sake of God and acts for the sake of God. So one is learning, ta'allama. One is allama, one is amila. If someone does these three things, learns for the sake of God, teaches for the sake of God, and acts for the sake of God, in the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would be called as a great person. دُعِيَ فِي مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ عَظِيمًا. In the kingdom of Allah, not among people. Among people, they may say someone is great because he is, for example, very rich, or you know, he is very beautiful. He has, you know, very nice voice. You know, so to be considered great among people is not something really special. But in the kingdom of Allah, in Malakut, to be called great, that is important. دُعِيَ فِي مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ عَظِيمًا. So, inshallah, we hope we are learning and inshallah acting, and whatever we learn, then we share. So, inshallah, we are teaching for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our topic is aqa'id. And today I want to give you an introduction to aqa'id, which would inshallah serve as basis and foundation for our course. You know that when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam started introducing Islam to the people of Arab Peninsula, starting with Mecca and then places around, as Quran says, لَتُنْذِرَ أُمَّ الْقُرَى وَمَنْ حَوْلَهَا. The process of teaching the Quran was not in the form of having, you know, some classes and, you know, different disciplines and different subjects. It was to give them an idea about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, what He wants from us, what we should do in our personal life, social life. And gradually, Prophet raised the level of understanding of people, the level of their education, so high that a society in which the number of people who were able to read and write were less than fingers of, you know, one person, became pioneer in civilization and sciences. But the Prophet had to be patient. The Prophet did not start, you know, his mission in a, for example, you know, in a place in which people were very familiar with, you know, philosophy, with logic, theology, you know, different, you know, religions. And also, it is something also natural and, you know, expected that over time people may have questions. So what happened was, after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gradually people were in need of developing some sciences, because they were reflecting on the teachings of the Prophet, and when they wanted to develop their understanding, they had questions, and there were different answers, different opinions, different interpretations. So gradually different sciences were developed so that they can understand the true message of Islam. Of course, this was the intention, but it's not that everyone was successful. So Muslims started to develop sciences so that they can understand the Quran and Sunnah better. Even Arabic, although was the language of people, and they were very eloquent in Arabic, it was not available as a kind of science. You know, Arabic grammar was developed by Muslims. The pagans had not anything, you know, written down or anything articulated as sarf and naf and balagha. All these things are done after Islam. And this is one of the achievements of Islam, that, you know, Islam brought all these sciences. As you know, for example, ilm al-nahw started when Imam Ali alayhi salam taught Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali about nahw, because Imam was sad that some people were making mistake in recitation of the Quran, although they were Arabs. But you know, when you are not learned in the grammar of your language, sometimes you make mistakes. So then Imam alayhi salam, you know, taught him this, and then it became science of nahw. The same is other subjects. Ilm al-lugha, for example, about, you know, etymology of the Arabic terms, this is all done later, after Islam. In addition to these introductory sciences, we have sciences which directly deal with the Quran and Sunnah. Sarf, nahw, balagha, this type of thing do not necessarily deal with the Quran. You can learn them for the sake of learning Arabic language. So for example, if today you are a Christian Arab, you learn sarf and nahw to understand your own scripture. You know, we have Bible in Arabic. And those who are Christian Arabs, they don't read, you know, Bible in English. They read Bible in Arabic. So if they want to understand that, they have to know their balagha, everything according to that. But then there were sciences that were introduced in order to understand Islam. Like what? Like tafsir. Like ulum al-Quran. Like fiqh. Like hadith. These are Islamic sciences which are developed specifically for understanding Islam. One of the sciences, one of the disciplines which was developed was the science of kalam, ilm al-kalam, or ilm al-tawheed, or ilm al-usul, but not usul al-fiqh. When they say usul, they mean usul al-din, usul al-aqaid. So some people call it ilm al-usul, ilm al-tawheed, ilm al-kalam, ilm al-aqaid. And this science is responsible for several things. Actually, we can say the most important tasks of Ilmul Kalam is three. One is to explain Islamic beliefs, to analyze and explain Islamic beliefs. What does Tawheed mean? Who is going to teach you what does Tawheed mean? The scholar of Kalam, the scholar of Aqa'id. Second, to prove Islamic beliefs. After understanding, you need to be able to prove that this is true. There are things that you understand, but maybe still you are not sure whether this is true or not. So the scholars of Kalam, theologians, have the responsibility of proving, arguing for Islamic beliefs. For example, why God exists? Why God has knowledge? Why there is resurrection? Why there is a need for revelation? Why we believe in Imama? We need to prove. The third is to answer to the questions raised by the people who want to understand or by those who want to attack. Sometimes there is a genuine question for the sake of understanding. Someone has a question about justice of God. He wants to understand. Sometimes there is a question raised by the opponents. They want to challenge. They are not really looking for truth. They want to just take away the gift of faith and iman from you. So who is responsible for answering to these questions? The scholar of Kalam or Aqa'id. So, explaining, analyzing Islamic beliefs, arguing for their truth, and answering to the questions and objections are three major tasks of Ilmul Kalam. And as you see, these are very important. This is not something marginal. There are things that if you know, it's better. But if you don't know, you are not going to be harmed. But Ilmul Kalam, Ilmul Aqa'id is very fundamental. You know all the story of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Seeing a group of Muslims very impressed, amazed by a person who was very familiar with genealogy of Arabs. He was Nasab. He knew the Nasabs, you know, he knew genealogy. He knew who is your father, grandfather, grand-grandfather. So when Rasulullah asked, who is this person and why, you know, people are, you know, so much interested in gathering around him and asking, they told him he is Nasab. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ ثَلَاثَةً. Knowledge is one of the three. آيَةٌ مُحْكَمَةٌ. Either it is something about your beliefs, firm ideas about your beliefs. Our ulama have interpreted ayatun muhkama as knowing the signs of God in a way that leads to knowing Allah Himself. or sunnatun qa'ima, you know what are the values, the etiquettes, the good manners for a Muslim, which is akhlaq. The first is aqaid, the second is akhlaq. Or faridatun adilah, which is rulings of Sharia. Prophet said, these are real ilm. And everything other than these three is fadl. Fadl means merit. Means it's a good thing. But it's not really ilm. I don't have time to explain the Islamic understanding of knowledge. But very briefly, I can say that sometimes you mean by ilm knowing, opposite to ignorance. Then everything that adds to your information can be knowledge. This is a very general way of using the term ilm. Sometimes you use ilm not for any information. You use ilm in the sense of an organized cluster of information and data, which is a discipline. So then we have, for example, geography, politics, theology, philosophy. So here in the second sense, when we say ilm, is not just knowing one thing. We use it for something which is like a, you know, cluster of information which has certain, you know, aims and objectives and principles, and all together they form a discipline. Sometimes when we say ilm, we mean something more specific. When we say ilm in this sense, we mean something that brings light, something that changes your reality, something which is not just adding information to your mind. It's a matter of making you a better person. There are people who have lots of information, but they are not alim. When they act, when they talk, they don't act as alim. They act as jahil. Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam said, رُبَّ عَالِمٍ قَتَلَهُ جَهْلُهُ وَعِلْمُهُ مَعْهُ لَا يَنْفَعُهُ. There are many learned people, even learned about religion. They know all these disciplines. They know fiqh, they know philosophy, they know kalam as discipline. But still, as a person, they are jahil. They are not alim. You know, it's like a person that may have learned all the theories about driving, but he cannot drive even for a few, you know, meters, he would have accident. You can know everything about akhlaq, but even you cannot have 5 minutes, you know, nice discussion with people, 5 minutes nice interaction with people. So ilm, which we use here, is in the sense of light, in the sense of transformation of person into a person who acts according to knowledge. Now, when it comes to those disciplines which teach us how to achieve this type of ilm, then we say
these disciplines are by themselves to be given more significance. Because although just knowing fiqh, akhlaq, aqaid as discipline does not guarantee that you are a better person. But if you want to become a better person, if you want to have that light, how are you going to achieve it? So we are not saying that every philosopher, every faqih, every muhaddis is good. Yeah? But at the same time, we don't say that ilm al-aqaid, ilm al-akhlaq is like physics, chemistry, mathematics. Because these sciences are developed and they function as a means for transformation of people. Those other sciences are good, but they don't necessarily help you for this. Yes, you can say, I learn physics, and by learning physics, I can know Allah better, or I want to serve people by medicine. Okay, that's all good. But this is something accidental to that science. This is the way you behave that makes that science useful, which can be the case. But when it comes to aqaid and akhlaq, the very science that you are studying is linked to this process of transformation. Okay? So I hope now it's clear that when we say ilm is these three, innama al-ilmu thalatha, first of all, we are not underestimating other sciences. No, they are all important. Rasulullah said they are fadl. We are saying that these are very special. But at the same time, we are not saying everyone who studies these three is necessarily a good person. These are the sciences that help you and prepare you for becoming a better person. But if God forbids, we don't benefit from them and we just, you know, add them to our archive, to our memory, if we just mentally engage with them, not with heart, they are not going to help. Even sometimes we may lose. Sometimes knowing these things can be more damaging. We have hadith that, inshallah, if after I finish, if you could please keep your questions. We have hadith, يُقْفَرُ لِلْجَاهِلِ سَبْعُونَ ذَنْبًا قَبْلَ أَنْ يُغْفَرَ لِلْعَالِمِ ذَنْبٌ وَاحِدٌ. When a person is not learned, not educated, 70 sins of this person will be forgiven before one sin of alim is forgiven. 70 sins of jahil is forgiven before one sin of alim is forgiven. But why? Because when you learn, then Allah expects from you more. So, to learn is very important, but not to learn for the sake of learning. To learn for the sake of God, to learn for the sake of benefiting from it, to learn for the sake of acting upon it. If you learn and don't act, this knowledge not only is not helping you, it's indeed darkening your heart. Because you know and you think you are special. You become arrogant. This doesn't mean that we say, okay, let us not become alim, let us not learn. Then at least our sins will be forgiven, you know, sooner. No. This is not an excuse. You know, we have hadith that on the day of judgment, some people who have not acted according to the
will of God according to the Sharia, they will be asked, Halla amilt, why you didn't act? For example, why you didn't pray? Why you didn't, you know, go Hajj? Or if you went, why you didn't do it properly? They say, we didn't know. They think this is a good excuse. But then they will be asked, Halla ta'allamt? So the first question is, Halla amilt? The second question is, Halla ta'allamt? Why you didn't learn? So if we have teacher, if we have books, if we have lectures, if we have hose, there is no excuse to say that, you know, I didn't want to learn because if I learn, then my responsibility increases. You have to learn. But you have to be also careful. Now that you learn, you should act upon your knowledge. You know, people could not say, we don't go to listen to the prophet because if we listen to him, there is worry that we may not, you know, follow him. This is not an excuse. You have to listen. So when we say jahil people can be forgiven easily, it's for the people who had excuse in being jahil. The people who had no access to education, there was no alim available. So there are two things. One is the value of these sciences, akhlaq, aqaid, fiqh, which help us in understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better, in understanding how to be a good servant of Allah, how to be a better person. There is a value in them, but at the same time, this doesn't guarantee that every person who learns them is a good person. Yes, everyone who studies them is expected to be a better person, but not necessarily. But if someone learns them and acts upon them, then he has light. And this light comes from where? This light doesn't come from learning. This light is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who try to learn and act honestly. You understand? So the light is not coming from this paper or this text or, you know, this class. But this paper, this text, this class, this learning, discussion, asking, all this is to prepare our heart in order to receive light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, for example, if you have a land, a farm, you prepare the soil, you use, you know, nice, for example, I don't know, based seeds, air, everything you try to be excellent. But are you growing the plant? Are you one who is giving life to this flower or to this, I don't know, tree? Or life is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَأَنْتُمْ تَزْرَعُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الزَّارِعُونَ You choose a very good husband or wife, you marry, you do your best for halal, you know, rizq, then, you know, you decide to have a child, you do everything in the best way that you can do. But you are not creating a child. Allah is giving you a child. Child is a gift. Gift comes from Allah. This is why Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Laysa al-ilmu bit-ta'lim wat-ta'allum, bal al-ilmu nurun yaqdhifuhu Allah fi qalbi man yasha." Knowledge is not a matter of learning and teaching. Knowledge is the light that Allah projects into the heart of people that He is willing. So, please be very careful. Some people unfortunately misunderstand this type of ahadith and they think, okay, let's close the book,
Don't go to the class and do just ibadah, and Allah will give us light. Because Imam said, ilm is not a matter of learning and teaching, or laysa al-ilm bikathrat al-ta'lim wa ta'allum. Ilm is a light. Yes, ilm is a light. But to whom Allah gives this light? To those who struggle for the sake of learning and teaching and acting upon it. They do their best. Quran says something very important. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. You know Arabic, some of you know Arabic, and inshallah then all of you learn Arabic. This إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ means the only people who have khashya of Allah, who have awe for Allah, who have high regard for Allah, the only people are al-ulama. The one who doesn't have that ilm doesn't understand. You know, like the story of that person that Prophet Musa saw. He was a, you know, person who didn't have knowledge. He was a worshiper, and he was saying to Allah, you know, I wish, you know, I could feed your donkey, you know, and, you know, you were here, I could look after, you know, you and, you know, your donkey. This is not khashya. So, knowledge is very important, but it's not enough. Knowledge is something that we should try to achieve, and inshallah, if we achieve it, if we bring it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would gift us with light. Among all different disciplines which are directly related to this process, aqaid has very a special position. Why? Because before anything, I should know who am I, how I have come to this world. Am I created by accident? Or someone has created me for a purpose? If we don't have questions for, answers for these questions, then how can we expect someone to observe Sharia or to act, you know, properly? If you think the whole world is just an illusion, there is no reality, or this world is created by chance, there is no life after this life, then your action would be different. Aqaid is very important. There is an ayah in the Quran which is very deep, very profound. And if, you know, we understand this ayah, it opens lots of, you know, ways, you know, and paths for us. إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ. What goes high, what rises towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proper aqidah. Proper understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawheed, nubuwwah, ma'ad, adl, these are things that go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحِ يَرْفَعُهُ. And righteous deeds serve as lift for them. I use this example. You want to go to, for example, in a building, imagine you want to go to the 10th floor. You take the lift, and with the help of the lift, you go to the 10th floor. Without this lift,
You were not able to go to the 10th floor because, for example, you were not able to walk or there was no staircase. So you used the lift to go to the 10th floor. So what has helped you to go to the 10th floor is the lift. But who has gone to the 10th floor? You. Allah says, إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ الْكَلَمُ الطَّيِّبُ. What is going high is aqaid. What is helping to go high is amal salih. Do you understand the point? So it means that your reality is your aqidah. The reality of every person is his ideas or her ideas, her belief system or his belief system. That is what makes you a person. Then your righteous deeds helps. Rumi says, ای برادر تو همه خود اندیشه ای. He says, you are only thought. It means that the reality of person is his thoughts, his ideas, his beliefs. Okay? If you can, by some kind of surgeries, which is not possible today, but suppose if someone gives you this ability to do some surgery and change the beliefs of people, so take the belief of this person and put in that person, automatically his akhlaq, his actions, everything will change. Because the control room is your aqaid, your beliefs. When I say aqaid, I don't mean just, you know, to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, all the principles of religion. I mean the whole belief system. Sometimes I say the first principle of religion is tawheed, but my aqidah is really polytheistic. I am mushrik, but I am just saying that I'm saying proper aqidah, you know. What is the motive when you go to shop? If you are a muwahhid, it's different from when you are a mushrik. If you are muwahhid, you know that rizq comes from Allah, but you have to do your efforts. You have to struggle, but rizq comes from Allah. Therefore, when you go to the shop, you don't tell lies. Because you know that it's not your presence there that brings rizq. You have just to do your best. So you don't need to tell lies to bring rizq, because rizq is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Telling lies indeed is blocking your rizq. So when I say aqaid, I don't mean just, you know, to memorize something like a parrot and say, you know, my first aqidah is this, my second aqidah is this. I mean your real, you know, mindset. So the science which helps us, hopefully, not necessarily, the science that helps us, hopefully, to have proper belief system is aqaid and is very important. Some have said this is the most important. At least this is the beginning. This is the foundation. This is the basis. This is the departure point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, مَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةً فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِنْهُمْ طَائِفَةً لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنْذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ. The famous Ayatul Nafr. It's called Ayatul Nafr, the verse about migration for the sake of learning, Surah Tawbah. Allah says, it's not possible, therefore it's not expected from all the believers to migrate. But why? From every group, some have not gone to learn and then go back to their people and warn them so that they may be changing their behavior. They may have fear of God. When Allah wants to say, what should they achieve when they migrate? You know, this ayah was revealed about those Bedouins who were not going to Medina to learn Islam and then, you know, teach their own people. Of course, it's not limited to that time, but this was the incident for which, you know, this ayah was revealed, you know, Sha'an al-Nuzul. Allah says, لَيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ تَفَقُّه فِي الدِّينِ. What does tafaqquh fiddin mean? In the Quranic sense, tafaqquh fiddin means to understand deeply your religion. Part of it is sharia, what we call today fiqh. Part of it is akhlaq. But great part of it is aqidah. لَيَتَفَقَّهُ فِدِّينَ. Have deep understanding of your religion. So, aqidah is very important. And inshallah, what we want to do in this course is, inshallah, we want to have a kind of, I can say, not very advanced, but at least something, you know, intermediate, a study of aqaid. So I assume that all have already had studied, you know, several books on aqaid, have, you know, had courses on aqaid. Maybe many of you have been teaching aqaid. So we are not going to start from basic, but also we are not going very high, because high level of aqaid needs also some familiarity with philosophy. So we will keep it intermediate. So something that a Hawza student must be equipped with. We will not be limited to single book. Inshallah, we will try to expand whenever is needed. But the book that we will try to follow its order and to cover as the minimum requirement is the book Amuzesh Aqaid, which is translated into English as Theological Instructions. Theological Instructions by Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi. Theological Instructions. Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi. You can get the book, inshallah, from office here. And this is a book which is used in the Hawzas, whether it is in Iran or many countries, as a textbook for those who study normally, you know, after several years. So there are some more basic books on aqaid that they study, and then they study this. So inshallah, we will use this as a basis, and also it is available in English, so if you don't know Farsi or Arabic, you know, you can use it in English, but I think it's available in also many languages, you know, Urdu, many languages. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ